I like all the songs around Christmas time, and some of them just have a tremendous message again about what Christ has done, and appreciate again that we can even rally around one of them here this morning in our worship. So let's open our Bibles once more to the book of Luke. I see Pastor Fenton at the funeral yesterday, and he said, "Boy, I don't even know what I'm going to preach tomorrow." And I said, "Well, I'm not a prophet nor a son of a prophet, but I could guess probably it's going to have something to do with Christmas here again." So probably, again, our outlines are pretty well set. I've preached again about Christmas for a lot of years, and I've never run out of things to wonder at here, and I'm going to bring up one that I think would cause us to wonder a little bit even here today. Let me read to you a song again that many of you know and are familiar with. It's new in the last 10 so years, been out. And it says this: "Mary, did you know?" I'm not going to sing this for you, okay? Well, even though some of you are going to be running through that tune in your head, I don't carry this tune that well. So, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know?" Ooh, 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 ooh. "The blind will see. The deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am." That's a powerful description there that I like to rehearse around Christmas time, and a good song as well. So let's look in our Bibles here to the book of Luke, and I want to preach a short message today on what Mary knew. What Mary knew. And so let's begin that in the book of Luke in chapter 1. We'll spend a lot of time in Luke, and I'm going to try and bounce you around the Bible quite a bit here, but let's go ahead and pick it up in verse 31, and let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 31. This is Gabriel, the angel that came and appeared to Mary, and that message is recorded in Luke 1 and verse 31. You follow in your Bible as I would read this morning. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Father, praise you and thank you for your word. I thank you again, Father, that as we celebrate the birth of your only begotten Son, that we could know some things about him. Father, that believing that he is the Messiah, the Christ, believing again that He is your only begotten Son and the Redeemer of mankind, as you promised, Father, that we could inherit eternal life, have our destination of our soul changed for eternity, but also have our lives changed for eternity. We'll praise You now and thank You for touching the message about what Mary knew about Your Son, and may we know all the more. In the name of Christ we pray it. Amen. You may be seated. As I read there again, there's some things that's certainly clear about what Mary knew about the Messiah. I'd have a stop and think again, and some of this message is cured from the idea that we've been taught most of our lives, adult lives, that back then these people were just cavemen and didn't know very much, and nobody had any copies of scriptures and nobody could read. I want you to know that to almost everyone there in this land could read three languages. They knew Hebrew, and they were taught Hebrew, and I'm going to guess that most of us in here don't know Hebrew. I know enough to recognize the letters, but that's all I know, again, of Hebrew. And it is a marvelously poetic language. It is, I believe, as we look at God's creation account, it is the original language that was before the flood that God created here in this old earth for man to communicate. And when Adam named all the animals in the garden, he did not give them their Latin names. He gave them Hebrew names again. And we could tell that even from the linguistics of the Hebrew tongue. They also knew Greek because that was the commercial language of the day. And most of them also spake and knew Aramaic because that was, again, the language that they conducted their lives in. And so, again, have us understand that people back then knew way more than you and I have actually thought about. And again, they were brought up and raised to know three separate languages. And even in our colleges now, we're only required, what, two languages? You got to have two languages. Usually to graduate from college, you got to know two languages. And I found out that Fortran don't count anymore. So, people back then were very intelligent. And people back then had the Bible. And so I'm going to read you some scriptures, and I want you to understand that from the time that Mary was born, from the time that Joseph was born, they heard these scriptures. And they had heard them recited, they wrote them down, they carried them with them, they brought them to their homes, they read them, they memorized them in the Hebrew tongue. And so again, understand that for, say, like 30 years here, that Mary, again, knew some things because of the Scripture. She knew some things about the Messiah, about His coming. She knew, again, that the message of His coming had gone all the way to the east through the Babylonian captivity, through the writings of Daniel that were taken, again, into Persia. And so she knew, again, some things about the promised Messiah. And sometimes she probably knew more about it than you and I know right now. Secondly, I want you to understand that by the time this announcement was made to the baptism of Christ, Mary had 30 years. It said in our reading that Dave did this morning that she pondered these things in her heart. And so again, I have us understand that for 30 years, she was a Bible student. And she memorized these scriptures, and she knew these scriptures. Sometimes scriptures that we have to go through a Scofield Reference Bible to find all the Old Testament references about what the coming of Christ was. Mary knew them, memorized them, and understood them. So what Mary did know about the coming of the Messiah, we want to look at that here just a little bit. And let me look at first some of the things that she had heard. Notice here, she heard this announcement from Gabriel. And when she heard that, understand what is in this message, that coming is going to be the Messiah. She knew who the Messiah was. She was familiar with Psalms chapter 2 that said the Son of God is going to sit on the throne of David and be there forever, and that God would cause the nations of the world to be His footstool. She knew those verses. When Gabriel announced again that, hey, you are going to be the father of this king, and that he is going to Well, let's read it right out of his announcement. Verse 33, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. She was familiar with the promise given to David about his eternal kingdom. And now she heard the announcement of this birth. Look down a couple verses there and notice again that what she had heard even from the mouth of Elizabeth as she went visited Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. I think there's an announcement here that she was already 6 months along with John the Baptist in pregnancy. Look at me again with me at verse 39. And Mary rose in those days and went in the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice, and said. Now here's some more stuff that Mary takes in, things that she heard about the announcement of this birth. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so we notice here again that Mary heard some more things and even saw some things here again that revealed to her that, hey, this is a big deal. This is important. And all of this is in private right now. None of it's public until this is published again. The things that Mary knew again about this birth. Look with me at verse 46. Secondly, we find some things that Mary heard. And now we're going to find some things that Mary said. Mary said, verse 46 of Luke chapter 1, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from the henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. I want you to understand that in this first year again, Mary knew some things, and here she expounded some things. She knew some things about Genesis chapter 12, where again Abraham is said to be the father of the seed that's going to be the blessing to the whole earth. She knew some things about Isaiah and the announcement that there's going to be a rod out of the stem of Jesse. She knew some things again about Scripture and the coming of the Messiah. Some things again that you and I have taken light regard of. But boy, again, Mary studied those things out all the more now that she knew again that she was going to be part of the unfolding of the presentation of the only begotten Son of God to this earth. Mary knew some things because of what she heard and hear what she said. But it goes on. Notice that also Mary saw some things. Notice also that she heard some things from Joseph. Let me go back and hit that real quickly. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Hold your place there, and Luke will be right back. But look with me at Matthew chapter 1. While we're here, let me cover again two things that we want to look at in Matthew and get them both while we're turned over to that section, Matthew chapter 1, and I'm only going to read verse 17. for one of the points here, and notice again that these are the genealogies. Where did they get the genealogies from here? I want you to know that each family kept track of their genealogies. And there's two sets of them recorded in scriptures for us concerning the Messiah, and this is one of them. And notice in verse 17 of this chapter it says, "So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." Do you know why that's given in such a rhythmic pattern? And again, when you put that together, understand that there are some changes to the actual lineages that they did. Don't let that fuss you too much again. But again, they did make some changes to the lineage, and they left some people out in the end, called grandfathers, fathers, so that that lineage come out with 14, 14, and 14. And they did that because this was memorized. School children memorized all 14, and 14 is 28, and I don't know what 14 more is. 42. They memorized all 42 of these names again, and they memorized this genealogy is rote work, school grade work for memorization. And so again, that's why it's orchestrated that way, and that's why it's recorded here. And I want you to know that before Matthew took a pen, a Levite again, took a pen and wrote this down as gospel, I want us to understand that children all over had memorized this all the way up to where it hit Joseph. Then Joseph's family has again memorized that, and now again understand that Mary knew this lineage. There's another lineage given in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 3. And it shows the lineage of Mary and her father, because Joseph became the only son of her father again. When they married, he had no other sons, and so Joseph became his son. And so there's a lineage in the book of Luke chapter 3. Don't let that fuss you too much again. A lot of say, well, see, there's two lineages and they don't agree. Of course they don't agree. They're of two different descendants again. And that is where Mary and her father, that's her lineage that's given in Luke chapter 3. And so you follow that lineage, and that not only goes back to Abraham, that keeps right on going, and it goes all the way back to Abel, and then it goes, or Cain, and then it goes all the way back to, or Enoch, I'm sorry, and then it goes back to the first man. And we're talking about the birth of the second man. God had intended that Adam be the first man, and the kingdom of the worlds were run by Adam, but he didn't live forever because of sin. Now there's a second Adam the Bible talks about. And so Luke chapter 3 gives that lineage. That's enough on lineages. I don't want to preach that, and I have before. But I wanted to point out again the importance of that. That's a big deal. Look with me now in Matthew. Matthew again presents the kingly aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what it says in verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And here's a definition. "For he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus in tongue means Savior. And so here's again the definition given of that name, Jesus. A lot of people talk about Jesus, but we need to recognize that there's three things you need to understand about him. Number one, he is Jesus' Savior. Number two, he is the promised Messiah. He is the Christ. And number three, he is the Son of God. His Father is literally God. And if you don't believe in the virgin birth, okay, sorry, all the American Baptists have thrown that out. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, you don't have Christianity. You don't have Christ. And you have to believe those three aspects, even as John said. So here we have his name given as Jesus, verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, of the Lord, by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now stop right there and pause and think. Did Joseph talk to Mary about what he had just seen?
I don't remember him doing this.
You don't think he did? I'm talking about you think between the lines.
Maybe between the lines.
I would think yes, probably, okay. He had a thorough discussion. Now, let me go and carry that a little further. Do you suppose they talked about it years later? Do you suppose they talked about it for 30 years again? We find that Jesus, being about the age of 30 years, was baptized. And so, for 30 years, I want you to know that this vision of an angel was a centerpiece of the home of Mary and Joseph. And this announcement and all that's carried on here, Mary heard that. She heard the explanation why Joseph had changed his mind and was now again going to marry her. And she again heard the explanation that's in the next verse as well, verse 25, "And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." And so again, we see some things that Mary knew here. This afternoon, we'll have another discussion in our Bible study about Joseph and what happened to Joseph, and what did Joseph, what role did Joseph play here as stepfather? Let's call him stepfather of Jesus, as the earthly father that did his rearing. And so we'll look at that in our Bible study this afternoon. But right now we're considering that Mary knew some things about the birth of this child, the conception of this child. She knew some things about her marriage to Joseph. She knew some things again about the expectation. And now she's got 9 months to ponder these things in her heart before the things that we just read in the book of Luke unfolded. And so Mary saw again, and Mary heard, I like this one, Mary heard the words of Caesar Augustus. Could you imagine Mary there living and saying, well, the scriptures say that the child is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. How are we going to pull this off? And then there came a decree from Caesar Augustus that did it for her. Mary and Joseph knew again that the child was to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David, for he was of the lineage of David and had to be to fulfill God's promise to David. And so again, there she heard the words of Caesar Augustus and said, "Isn't God good?" And they took off and headed to Bethlehem just in the nick of time, it turns out. One of the things that Mary did here that's important, and we've read it again in our reading in Luke chapter 2, is she took the child and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Now listen, it's common to put a child in swaddling cloth. When a child is born, they wrap him up in something. But this is given particular emphasis. There's no other Bible character mentioned that was born. Even Moses wasn't put in swaddling clothes. And notice again, it was given a sign to the shepherds that, hey, you're going to go find this child in their special significance. You're going to find him because he is laying in a manger and he's in swaddling clothes. Now again, the swaddling clothes is probably, as near as we can tell, is the same mummy clothes. Would I dare use that again from the pulpit? And say again, when a person died, they wrapped them in swaddling clothes again for their burial. And Mary did that. Mary and Joseph did that. When the child was born, they wrapped him in grave clothes, in swaddling clothes. And so Mary knew again that he was come to die. Mary was not unfamiliar with Isaiah 53. Again, every Jew back then, and then the teaching of scriptures, in looking for the Messiah, looked at Isaiah 53. Since the coming again, that scripture, by the way, is forbidden for Orthodox Jews. They don't want them reading that scripture, Isaiah 53. And for you as a Christian, that ought to be a precious chapter to us. To understand again that it was forecast here 700 years before he got here. It was said that he was going to come to die. Mary knew that. She knew his purpose in coming. She knew that he would be offered. She knew that his hands would be pierced, because she believed what the Old Testament said about the coming of the Messiah. Mary knew some things because of, again, the scriptures. And we see them unfolded here, even in her actions. We see again that the shepherds came, and it had such an impact that they worshipped the child that was born. Let me say that again. They worshipped the child that was born. Let me say that one more time. Thou shalt have no other God before thee. The Lord God is the only one you're ever allowed to worship. And yet the shepherds came and worshipped this child, because his name shall be called the Everlasting Father. That's him. In that manger, they worshipped him. And what does it say Mary did? She pondered these things in her heart. Mary knew some things. Mary again then took the child down to name him, and to have him circumcised, and to have him again presented at the temple. That's also presented here in Luke chapter 2. So look with me at what happened when they got down to the temple. Verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, and waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah, and it's presented here that he was going to see the Lord's Messiah, and the word Messiah means the anointed one of God. And so here he's looking for the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the... Praise the Lord, hallelujah, I am in the Bible right there again. I'm not a Jew, I'm not of the tribe of Judah, I'm not of Israel, I'm not of the 12 tribes of Israel, I'm a Gentile. And listen, he didn't come just for the Jews. He came through the line of the Jews. But he came to lighten again the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Now look at verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Don't miss the parentheses there. It's given for the breaking up of that sentence. Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. For a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. But notice the parentheses. As he speaks to Mary, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. See that THY in there? Anybody remember if it starts with a T? Is it singular or plural?
Plural.
Singular.
Singular, okay. And so that's the singular there. He's speaking specifically to Mary. Not to Mary and Joseph, we'll find tonight, but to Mary. And so if it starts with a Y in your Bible, in your King James Bible, this don't work for any other English Bible, but if it starts with a Y in your English Bible, it is plural. It's like y'all is how I remember that. So whenever you find a Y, it's a y'all. And if you find a T, it's always in the singular. A good aspect of English that's been thrown out by the dumbing down of Americans' English. And so notice here again that here's a promise that's given, but he then points out Mary and says, hey, there's going to be a piercing of your heart. It's going to break your heart. And you can't read that, those are that have the foreknowledge, but what you look at Mary standing at the foot of the cross of Calvary and hear the words of Christ even from the cross. And so we see that Mary knew these things were coming. Mary had a knowledge of who the Messiah was and what he would do for mankind. I must move on. Verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So again, notice that Mary knew again that this was the Redeemer. And she had several witnesses that gave account that, hey, this is the Redeemer. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. She knew those things about him. And we haven't even got to the three wise men that came from the east. And so again, I'd have you just reflect on that for a moment, rather than look at all the scriptures that they came from the east, and they came to worship him that was to be born King of the Jews. They was looking for a king, and Mary knew that she was the mother of the King of the Jews. And here as they came, what did they do? They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh, as we sang this morning in our song. And in doing that, they put them before the King of the Jews, and they worshipped him. Who are we to worship? Nobody but the Lord God. And they worshipped him. He is the Lord God. He is God made flesh. Mary knew that. Mary knew who it was that was in that manger. Mary knew who it was that was in the house when the wise men came and worshipped him. And next, again, Mary knew the scriptures that said that the Messiah was going to come out of Egypt. And you read the account there in Matthew, you find again that the Lord sent a dream to Joseph again and said, get out of the country and flee to Egypt. And they did. Condense the version here and jump back that they came back after Herod was dead. And where did they go? Listen, the scriptures say that he shall be called a Nazarene, not a Nazarite, a Nazarene. And so notice again here that we have even in our own account in chapter 2 and verse 39 of Luke. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. Now, I'd like to expand that verse a little bit to include a trip to Egypt as in the law of the Lord. Okay? We aren't given the details here, but notice again in Matthew it gives us the details that they went down into Egypt. And so however you fit all this synchronized together, understand this, that again the scriptures don't contradict each other here. And when it was all fulfilled, what was in the law, which included going to the temple, which included coming back to Bethlehem and fulfilling the requirements of Caesar Augustus, and then to flee down into Egypt, that's all in the law. And the Bible says that when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. He shall be born in Bethlehem. The Messiah is going to come up out of Egypt. And he's going to be called a Nazarene. Listen, Mary knew all those things. from Scripture. And she knew the Scriptures that pointed to them, had doubtlessly memorized them. I could picture the Hebrew plaques hanging in their living room that had those verses on their wall again. They were told to put verses on their doorposts, on their walls, on their foreheads, and to keep them forever. And Mary and Joseph had those verses all over their home. I needn't go too much further for us to recall that Mary raised the Christ child. Mary again was there when they came back from Jerusalem and couldn't find them amongst them. And they went down and found him teaching in the temple. And the scribes and the lawyers wondered at his knowledge and wisdom. And listen, Jesus was homeschooled. Okay? And there he is at 12, able to read Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, able again to confound the scholars. Now, Jesus did have one advantage above you and I. He was finite. He wasn't able to read because he was omniscient from God. He was made flesh. And everything that he did in the flesh. And he says again that you and I have the same power that he had in the flesh. He didn't do anything by his magic deity. He set all of those attributes aside and he became finite. He became flesh. But one thing Jesus had, even as a child, is he had a connection with the Holy Spirit of God that you and I are sometimes lacking. He had the ability to learn because he had the Holy Spirit of God so fully controlling his life. And you and I like to grab in and control our life and take away from what the Holy Spirit is meaning to do when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had none of that. He had no sin. And he again grew up and learned, and there he was at age 12. Mary saw that. Mary, he then came back and he put himself to subjection to his parents. And he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with men, the Bible says. And Mary watched all that. And then I hastened to come to John chapter 2. Remember in John chapter 2, that they were invited to a wedding. Who was invited to a wedding? Mary and Joseph? No. Mary was invited. And the disciples were invited. And they went to the wedding. Remember, Mary had a discussion with her son, the only begotten Son of God, and said, "Hey, they've run out of wine. You could fix this. You are the great a creator, and you created the world. Be nothing for you to just step in and create a little wine for this wedding." And listen, Jesus rebuked her as curious and said, "Mine hour is not yet come." If you understand that a little bit, you start reading your Bible, especially through the Gospel of John, you'll recognize that there was a time when his hour did come. And it wasn't, I'm not talking about the crucifixion. And so his hour did come when he would reveal fully and give the witness account of who he was and what he was doing here. But at this time, he told his mom, "Mine hour has not yet come." Anybody remember what Mary said? I used to have a track that says Mary's advice to Catholics again. Anybody remember what Mary's advice was? What was that?
She said, "Do whatever he says."
Yeah. Mary went to the servants and said, "Hey, whatsoever he says to you, you do it. You do whatever he says." And that's still good advice, again. To not listen to Mary, nor worship Mary, but to listen to her only, or her son, who was the only begotten Son of God. And so, Mary, again, there at that wedding, she reveals how much she knew. She reveals again. Now, I love this song again, and I probably can guess that she probably hadn't guessed that he was going to raise the dead. But there's scripture in the Old Testament that said he would. She probably guessed that he wouldn't heal as many lame as he healed. But there's scripture in the Old Testament that said he would be the healer. She probably couldn't guess that your son would walk on water. Amen. But listen, there's scripture again. That the Old Testament, that she knew, having studied it for 30 years, she knew again that this was the creator of the world and that he again was her son and was to fulfill all the things of the Christ, the Messiah. He was the anointed one of God. He was to fulfill all the things as Jesus, Savior of the world. And he was to fulfill the role of being the only begotten Son of God. And the Bible says in John, the closing verses, says, if you believe those things, I could have written a million things, John says, but I've written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and is the Christ. And if you believe those things, you have everlasting life. If you believe those things, you have eternal life. The Savior had to die for your sins, for my sins. And when he did, he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved from our sin debt. And he paid that price. Mary, did you know? Yeah, Mary knew some things. Boy, again, it would behoove us to learn some things about the Messiah that died for our sins, to take away our sin debt. Father, praise you again and thank you. Father, we could have spent another hour here looking at the names given to the Christ child. We could have spent an hour looking at the prophecies of all that he would fulfill. We thank you again, Father, that Mary knew some things, and it's revealed plainly in Scripture what all she knew about your only begotten Son. Would that we would know even better some more of those things about your Son, because he's our Savior. Pray that you tug on any heart here, Father, who's never called on the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Father, that you'd again cause that even as we pillow our head this evening, we'd rejoice all the more in the fact that you saved us. And if any here couldn't pillow their head tonight without a knowledge of your Son as Savior, pray that you'd tug especially on their heart today and not let them sleep, not let them rest till they make straight again their relationship with you through your Messiah, your Christ child. We'll praise you now and thank you for blessing your words and causing again that they just turn in our heart as we go through all through this week of celebrating again the birth of your only begotten Son. In his precious name we pray just now. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing this. I think we can do it. Well, we got a piano player. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Silent Night. I'm sure it's in your book. And let's just sing Silent Night, Holy Night as we sing the verses of that song again. If there's something you'd like to bring to an old-fashioned altar, if God's tugged on your heart, you go ahead and do that during our invitation time. If you're here and you've never received Christ as your own personal Savior, boy, I'd encourage you to use this, even this invitation time, to make that confession, accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. 431, Silent Night.